sort of will have a lot to do with this, what I just said. Not the anger. We're not going to be talking about anger. But we'll talk about something that can cause the anger. And I'll be sharing a message today about my own personal experience in past few years, and mostly in 2013. My message disappeared. And that is okay. I just had it with me. But that's okay. That's why we have the iPad. Don't mind my talking to myself. Basically, this morning, whether you're new to this whole Christian thing, and whether you're Christian or not, we believe as Christians that the Bible is the ultimate instruction manual for us to live in this life and move and do things properly. And if we believe if we live by the Bible, there's a lot of useful stuff there, that we will find almost ways for everything to live a good life and blessed life. And the God will take care of everything else and bless us if we follow his instructions and commands and principles. And yes, there is steps to follow, and especially in this new time of as our church, we're entering in a new season, 2014, and Pastor Ken was sharing last week about double portion and how God wants to bless us with a double portion of anointing and blessings and all the stuff, all the things in our life. And he even handed out a little sheet that you can, on which one you can think of, and different things in life. But today I want to share personally from my own experience and my own journey, an honest sermon, something that really has really changed my life in past a year. And as I was just walking in this morning, I said, "So what's the title?" People asked me, "So what's the title of your message?" It was Roger, and I was like, "Well, I don't really have a title, but I guess I can call it 'Two Things I Learned.'" He's like, "Two things you learned? You only learned two things?" I'm like, "Yeah, as bad as that sounds, these are the two things. I mean, I've learned a lot of things in past few years, and the past year, 2013. But these are the two things that really stood out to me, and I sort of adjusted my life and really started contemplating, and it was life-changing. So that's it. Two things I've learned, for those of you that really care about the title. But what do I mean by that? You know, and as I just said, the message will be sort of driven towards my own perspective and from where I'm coming from in my 27 poor years of life, 27 years. I'm only 27 years old. So does this surprise you guys? No? Okay, so I'm only 27. I'm really young, maturing, married for 5 years, 5+ years, and kids 3.5, 4 years, parent. So from my perspective of being in church whole life, just working for past 2 years in the church and just being involved with God and ministry and all that stuff. So I'm coming from that perspective as a married young man. But I'm really pretty sure that all the stuff that I'll be sharing with you this morning will actually speak. Whether you're single or married, there's things that you'll pull out and will really bless you. And you'll be able to learn something. So things that we struggle most in this life are usually relationships and relationships that we have with other people and people that are close with us or people that are not so close with us, family and friends. And that's where I'm coming from. I've had trouble figuring out relationship, specifically relationship with my wife, relationship with God, relationship with people in the church and doing things for people and that kind of stuff. I've really had a hard time figuring that out. So when we try to take some time in life and analyze things that we spend most our time and our resources on, we do understand that we come to realization that we are spending time on things sometimes that are really not that important, but yet we neglect them. And you see, when we try doing things right in life, and we try to do what matters the most, right? And we always, whenever you try to do what's right in life, and whenever you are just about to do something that's good, Satan will come, and he's the one who confuses us, and he wants to destroy our priorities, and he wants to get us off track. When you want to do something right, the first thing that will happen is you will have opposition. There's going to be a toddler who's going to come and say, I can't really do that, or here's something else. So what do you mean by this, David, you would ask? Well, we all want to be successful, and we all want to have good families, and we all want to have good careers and money and all that kind of stuff. That's all okay. That's all good. But we all want to use our time wisely. That's also really good. We all want to turn back in our life when we get old and look back at our life and say, oh, I've lived a good life and I've done the right things. Now, the question is, have we really done that? Have we really done that? Now, Proverbs 17:24, an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. So an intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. Now, inside each of us is a desire to be productive. We can agree with that. We can all agree with that, right? There's a desire for us to be productive and have meaningful lives. But when we lose track of things in life, when we lose a track of what is really important, our life sort of takes a different course, different direction. And that is exactly the first thing that I have learned out of those two things that I've learned in the past year and a half, 2013, is I've realized that again and again, I was reminded of the priorities and what really matters. And that's the first thing I'd like to share, the importance of priorities in our personal life. For me, particularly, I had priorities all over the place, and I've had things out of whack for a long time. And I thought I was doing all right, but I really wasn't. And that's where the honesty comes in. The things that I want to share with you this morning. I thought that I was doing a good job with even the ministry and God and my marriage and my kids and all that stuff, but I really wasn't. Things were not going in the right direction, and something had to be done. My priorities were off. So if we can just put that first point on there, priorities. So priorities are something that we thought of this before, but I want to be as simple as I can this morning to share with you what I really, really believe is, at least from a Christian perspective, Christian life, Christian living is what really is important. Okay? Last year this time, I shared about a similar message about how we can invest our time and be involved in church and do things for God. But this time around, I want to share with you a practical life, steps in life that you really will change everything. We all want to have a healthy family. We all want to married couples. We all want to have a beautiful marriage and amazing kids and all that stuff. Well, if you really want that, this is what needs to get in order. This is what you need to think of. And if I was going to hand out all the pieces of paper to you, and I was going to tell you, write down the priorities, you know, on each paper, write the different priority in your life, and then you would all write probably different things, right? But if I was going to tell you, okay, now put those things in proper order, now there, I think that's where most of us will have different things, different priorities would come before those that are. Some important stuff will come and then some not so important things. But we would all have a different perspective. And as simply as I try to go to these priorities that I think really are important, I really believe and I pray that God will speak. Even if you're single, we'll eliminate some things from the list that don't apply to you, but will apply to your life. Now, just look at the statistics of the families today. And look at maybe even your friends and maybe people you're surrounded with at work and all that stuff, you'll see a lot of brokenness. You will see a lot of I don't know if you've ever been to prison or if you've ever been to a mental hospital. If you go to mental hospital, there's a lot of teenagers that are confused and are just not in the right place. You will see a lot of, if you go to prison, you'll see a lot of teenagers and even adults that have done stuff, harmed and did bad things. But now, I've wondered, what would have happened if those people, if someone in those people's life, if there was someone in those people's lives that actually direct them and helped them figure things out and get their priorities straight. Now, so something went wrong. These people ended up in these institutions, unfortunately. But it was only because someone's priority was out of whack, whether it's their parents or whether it's some of their family members or people that they were surrounded with that weren't really caring. See, someone's priorities were off. And that's exactly what happens when a divorce happens. That's exactly what happens when a kid leaves home rebellious and they want to do their own thing. It's exactly what happens when people end up in places they're not supposed to be at. It's when someone's priorities somewhere were off. Use a normal term, regular term, out of whack. They were not in proper order. Now, if we don't have right priorities, and if we, if you even look at the Christian families, statistics are the same. There's no difference between Christians and non-Christians, unfortunately. It's just people. And the main problem is priorities. They don't have their priorities in order. When you don't know what's important and when you don't know what your priority is, then what will happen? You'll make lesser things important. You'll replace for those things that really matter. And things will get out of order. Let's put it this way. If your priority isn't in place, your life, complete life, will be out of place as well. What do I mean by this? You see, we tend to confuse the order of things and what's important. We put the lesser things up and those things that really matter, we put them down. And we don't use our time wisely. And the fact is, we all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours. We all have 7 weeks, and we all have a month. We all have the same amount of time to use. Except some people have a better life, and some people don't. Right? Why do they have such a good marriage? Why do they have such a good family? Why did their kids turn out so good? Because their priorities were in order. And for me, particularly, because I grew up in a church and I grew up in a Christian family, and from what I've learned, particularly for me, I was confusing two things. And those two things, now that I'm even more involved in the church and doing ministry, I was confusing two things, and that's why I find myself in the past year, is I was confusing God, and you would think 27 years of life, you still didn't figure that out. I was confusing God and my own personal relationship with God with ministry and church. That was my biggest one. I was thinking if I have to do all these things in church and use my gifts and all talents and all that stuff, that's my priority in life. And that is a priority, but it has to be put in the right place. Okay, so I was confusing those two things, and the result for that, my family was suffering. I mean, I've been only married 5 years, so I don't really have a lot of baggage to share with some of you that have years and years of experience, but I can tell you that my marriage was not priority, and my kids were not really that priority. I was thinking, I have to do all these things for God, and that's all that matters in this life. Let's look at the things from a different perspective. Serving God is really important. But having a relationship, personal, intimate relationship with God is even more important than that. So using your gifts and talents for the kingdom is important. But your own personal relationship is really, really important. So just to start with the list, start it off somewhere. And these are the things that you probably heard many times. And maybe you've heard and you've been going to church for 60 years. And you know that God is number one. And you know that your personal relationship with God should be at number one spot. But you still don't do it. And maybe if you're married, go from the married perspective. If you're married, you know that when you stood in front of the altar and you said your vows, and you know that your wife should be a priority, or what husband should be a priority, but unfortunately they're not. And that brings us to another point. What is the number two priority? This is the list that I just want to share with you that I believe is really important, is your spouse. Now, before I go any further, just to explain these two things. Relationship with God has to do with your own personal relationship with God himself. And your wife or your husband has to do with your relationship in this world, correct? So in this world, really, number one thing is your spouse if you're married. Okay? So I'll be playing with this, but I'll try to explain my point. But marriage is the most important thing and the most important priority in your life after your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Repeat that one more time. Marriage only works if it's in this order, if it's in this place, if it's in the first place, in this planet. And I'll tell you why. Because the next priority on the list, you can just put it up there. Because if it's not, something else will happen. Your children will come and they'll become a priority. But if your marriage is not good, your kids will not turn out that well either. Now, we'll go back to this. But I always used to tell my wife, and she's not here, unfortunately, but she knows my message and what I wanted to share with you. And these are the things that I've learned, and I've had a conversation with her so many times about this. But I've learned that I always used to tell my wife that she's really important. She's really important. She's my priority. She's everything. She's, you know. I always used to say that, and I still say that. But deep down, I really wasn't living out that life. I really wasn't. It really wasn't the truth. You know, I used to show up at home, whether I was doing just a regular job or just working at church for the past 2 years, I show up at home, and after you show up at home after saving the world, doing all the stuff, making all the money, and the first thing your wife or your husband wants you to do is, oh, there's, you know, there's dishes, there's things need to be done around the house, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to, there's the kids, come on, the kids, you got to take care of the kids. Like, there's all these things, and that was the last thing that I needed after saving the world to do at home. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's really what I thought. I thought in my mind, and she's not here, she would laugh, I would say, woman, but I won't say woman, I mean, that's disrespectful. But in my mind, I would think, who do you think you are? I've just been doing all this stuff, and what do you expect me to do all this time? I need to rest. This is the time when I come home from work, and all I need to do is just lay on the couch and rest and not do much, hang out with the kids a little bit. That's it. You've been home all day. You could have been doing all the laundry and dishes and all that stuff, right? Well, after a couple of nights sleeping on the couch, and after, you know, taking away that blessing of my wife sleeping with me, it was a time when, you know, you lay down on the couch and you think, and you really hope that they understand. You really hope that your wife, your husband, oh God, just open their eyes so that they would see that I'm just working hard, I'm doing all these things and this and this and this. But listen, God never answered my prayer because I needed to realize that she comes first. Work is fine, career is fine, do all the stuff, make money, survive, and that's fine. But relationships, your wife and your husband is first. Now, David, I'm not married, I'm single. Okay, let's go to the next point. Church. For me, particularly from my perspective, I work at the church ministry, doing the Lord's work. This is where it falls for me. And I really believe this is it. You're not married, you're single, right? We can remove number two and three, and you can start in God, and then go down. Let's just put number 5 there as well, Alex. Extended family and friends. So this is the list that I've come up with. There's a lot of other things, you know, that you can put under this, but I really believe this is the list that will change your life. I even come to the point and told my wife, you know what, okay, let's quit the job, do something else that doesn't require so much time. We all do the same. We all put the same hours in a week. We all work the same jobs. And sometimes you even work overtime, and that's fine. But it's not about quitting your job, and that's what she told me. You don't have to quit your job. Just put me first and the kids. You don't have to, do what. You just have to prioritize. You just have to put things in the right order. So first thing that happens when you don't have your priorities in order, it creates confusion. And that's when the devil comes and he wants to get you off track and put other things in your path so you would be doing something that really doesn't matter. So when I say I'm putting God first, I think of my own personal relationship with God, right? That's godliness and what Bible is calling us to do and what God is calling us to become. Become godly, to become holy, to be consecrated from this world. And then everything else will just flow out of that. Now, my top priority, I just want to clarify this again, is my top priority is to have a relationship with God and not to be in church and serving and doing stuff with people all the time. Okay, ministry and your own personal relationship with God is two different things. Now, because Satan wants to come and confuse and he wants to minimize our effectiveness in our life, this is how I know why is this in this proper order. This is how I know. We know the verse that says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else shall be added to you. We really well know this verse if we read the Bible. Even if we don't, this is the key. You see God first. But here's the principle that I think this is in a proper order. Here's the principle. What if, we can just put the priority list back on the screen. So this is how I know that this is right, okay? If you take the greater priority away from the list, if you take the greater priority away, it will affect all the others. Very simple. If you take the lesser priority away, lesser priority away, it will not affect any of the ones on the top. Very simple. Let's just repeat that one more time. So if you take the top priority off the list, whatever is the greater priority, it will affect all the others. And here's the example. Can you take God away? Can you take God away and not make any difference on the other things on the list? It makes a difference in your marriage. It makes a difference with your kids, with your relationship with your kids. It makes a difference with the church, the ministry. It makes a difference with your family, friends, and everything else that comes along after that. Right? Can you take your marriage away and not make a difference? Let's say you take God. Can you take a marriage away and not affect all the other things on the bottom? Can you have healthy children, a healthy family, if you're not in a good relationship with your wife, your spouse, your husband or wife? Or can you be really effective in the church, in the ministry for the Lord and serving and helping people if your marriage is not in proper order, if your marriage is not good? You can't. You simply can't. And unfortunately, statistics do say that as many non-Christians or Christians and pastors are getting divorced and broken, lots of brokenness. I really believe all this stuff has happened. If they just had this figured out, if they just knew to put first things first. You're going to be a horrible parent. A horrible parent if you don't have good relationship with your wife and your husband, or at least to say, if you don't have God in your life, it's not going to work out. Now, I've lost and I've risked friendships with the family and friends and all the other ones for the sake of the ones that are greater. I have. And that's okay. People in your life, people matter. The greatest commandment is love God and love people. But if you've decided to get married, this is it. It's your spouse and then your children. Now, how do I know that? As I just shared, people would say, well, are you really saying that you're going to be disloyal? Are we disloyal to God if we put our wife first before everything else, the ministry and church? No, we're not. We're just being obedient to God and His word. And in Psalm 133, I just want to share this verse that really spoke to me when I was preparing for this message, but also just to remind, what does it mean to be in unity? You see, Psalm 133 says this, from out of the unity of the brothers and sisters, and you can use that for unity in the family, it's like the oil that's dripping from the top. From Aaron's beard, he was a high priest. He was the one who was interceding for the whole all of Israel back in history. And that oil was just flowing from the top to the right, and there was a blessing everywhere. And if you want and if you wish to inherit that blessing and have a double portion on your marriage and your kids and your family and all that stuff around you that are happening and church work, and if you want that anointing, you need to realize you need to be in unity first with God, with your wife and her husband, with your children, and then everything else. Do we understand this? I'm trying to be as clear as I can. But this is what I really believe. God will release anointing when He sees the unity. God will release anointing when He sees that. It flows from heaven to the whole life. And when the head gets it, the whole body will get it too. Amen? So, you can't say that God will anoint and bless your ministry and your children and whatever else. You can't say that if you don't have it right with God first. And if you're not in unity with God and your wife and your husband. Now, the truth is, when I'm right with God and when I'm right with my family, I'm also then right for my ministry as well, whatever that may be. And God will release His full anointing and double portion if I'm right with God and my family. God sees us in secret, and He will bless that. So this is a simple list. But here is what Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. I didn't really sort of took this verse out of, it's not taken out of context, it's just a life verse. Basically, make the most of every opportunity. Use your time wisely. And here's steps. Your time wisely, and that I'll just share with you. You have to start learning to budget your time like money. It's very simple. Budget your time like money. I really hope you do budget your money. If you don't budget your money, then you know that things are out of whack already, right? If you don't budget, everything is maxed out, all the credit cards that you ever owned, because you don't budget. What's the proper way to get back into order and with all this stuff? It's just to start budgeting. Now, budget time like money means this. With your money that you get, let's say you get a paycheck and you get money and whatever, you have an income, whatever. Let's say you take that money and you don't go and buy all your vacations and all the gadgets and all the stuff that you need first. And then if you have something left, you go and pay your mortgage. And do your bills, and do your groceries. Fill up the fridge with the groceries, right? We don't do that. What do we do with our money when we get the paycheck? Okay, so we got the paycheck, so this needs to be paid first. Mortgage needs to go first, all this stuff that we need to fill up the fridge with, because I'll be hungry, right? And then, if there's something left, then we take that time, that money, And we invest into saving up for the vacation or whatever else we need at that point of life. Do we understand this principle? You need to start budgeting your time like money. We all have the same amount of time. We all have it, even people that are coming out of broken families and broken homes. We all have the same amount of time. We just have to start using it wisely. We have to start prioritizing. So, pay God first. Let me just put the priority list up there. Pay God first with your time. What does that mean? If you get up early in the morning, for us Christians, I grew up in the church, so for me I was always learned when you get up early in the morning, the first thing that you do, you don't even brush your teeth. You go and pray, and you read the Bible. You have some devotion time with God. That's the way I was raised. Now I actually do brush my teeth first because it's not, you know. Anyways, so basically, I don't even know why I mentioned that, but basically that's it. That's how I was brought up. Okay, God is number one. You go and you have your time with God, but what's the second best of your time? So the first best of your time is you give it to God. Second best of your time is your spouse, your wife or your husband. You don't have a wife and kids? That's cool. What's next on the list? Okay, so for some of you, this might not apply. I'm just joking. So church, extended family and friends and all that stuff. So if you're single, you need to start investing your time into God and ministry. Okay, it's very simple. I mean, you have work, but when I say ministry, this is what I mean. People and helping people and using your gifts and just being there and being effective in this world for the kingdom. Amen? So people say, well, I spend most of my time on work. Well, that's fine. I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about relationships. Okay? Don't confuse those two. So first best is God of my time. Second best is my wife. So in this world, it's actually, so my wife and my kids, third best. And then everything else, friends and family and all that stuff, that comes later if you have time for them in a week. That's good if you do. It really is. It's really good to keep those relationships. But we all have the same amount of time. And I really don't dislike when people tell me they're busy. You're not busy. You just, your priorities are out of whack. You can find time for me. So, I'm so selfish. You can find time for me. But I'm just saying, like, when we're trying to get to someone and they're like, I'm busy for a month. Okay, you're busy for a month. I get it. Okay, so budget time like money. And also, principle number two is, the step how to actually achieve this is you have to build disciplines and traditions. You can actually remove this. So build disciplines and traditions. What does that mean? That means that, you know, it's not about what happens once. I don't know where I read this. Not what happens once, but what keeps on happening all the time. So, for example, for myself and my wife, we've decided a long time ago, but we have a date night once a week. Now, why do married couples date every single day until they get married? And then once they get married, that's it. No more dating. What does that happen? Well, no, I have you, so we don't really have to date anymore, right? Well, if you don't continue on dating, and if you don't continue on investing your time in your spouse, then don't expect it to work. It will not work. You need that time alone with your loved one. Now, the way we did it, and my wife and I did it, is we have a date night once a week, and that's not all. Because we have so much time in 7 days, we really do, just like you. We try to once a night. Every night we talk, but once a night we read a book, a chapter from a marriage book, just to improve our marriage and our life. And then we read, and we also once a night we also watch a useful video on marriage or something. So we actively do things throughout the week to invest into our marriage and our life and our relationship. Why do we do this, you'd ask? Because if I don't do this, and as my kids are growing up, what's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my ministry and everything else? it's easy for us to schedule things on a calendar, right? It's really easy for us to put things for other people. But when it comes to the people that really matter in our life, it's okay, we'll get together. We'll go on a date. We'll do it. But why don't you, why is it so hard? We do this now, we plan our weeks. But why is it so hard to just sit down with your wife and your husband and sit down and plan out you have a week or next month. Plan out the week. What is our date night? What is our, protect your time. You have to protect your time. That's the only way you can do it. Because if you don't have it on a calendar, you really, percentage is really less likely that it will happen. Now, putting on the calendar is really useful. That's what I do, even for doing stuff, not only meeting with people and coffees and that kind of stuff, but for my marriage, for my kids, playtime with my kids, and I also put things on the calendar like doing stuff with other people as well. So, you also need to make your wife and your husband, you also have to make them a partner in your scheduling. It's really not good if you are married and you go ahead and you plan your own calendar and then you tell your wife or your husband later. Oftentimes it doesn't work. You have to plan things together. So that's the first thing I've learned. And because I don't really have much time, I've got my priority list. I really hope this 2014 is going to be a new year for you in terms of your priorities. And let's just put the list again. Make sure that you get this figured out sooner than later. Okay? Sooner than later. And another thing that I learned, I just put that on there just for the sake of mentioning it, that I really learned and I really invest my time is rest and Sabbath and how it's really important for us to rest once a week. Just digest and not work and not do work and just focus on what really matters, your family and God and that kind of stuff. So I've learned that and I'm practicing that every week and whatever it is, people ask me, so what do you do on your Sabbath, on your day of rest? And it's not about what you do on Sabbath, it's about what you don't do. And the Bible is really clear when it talks about the rest. It talks about what's Sabbath? It's ceasing from work. So what you don't do on Sabbath is work. So what is work for you? Answer it yourself. Is it answering the emails? Is it texting or counseling people or doing whatever your work is? You need to put that aside and take one day and rest. And I think it's really hard for us as Christians. Well, I grew up in a church, so I always, you know, Ten Commandments and you follow these and but there's a fourth commandment. Sort of skip, you know, rest once a week. You sort of skip that rest. I rest, whatever. But it seems like we keep all the other commandments. We keep all the stuff in the Bible, but the rest portion is like. And especially in our crazy world with all the social media all stuff, and it's just too much to bear. But we have to learn that. We have to learn to rest. We really have to put our time and budget that time, put on a calendar. This is my Sabbath, whatever that day is. Doesn't have to be Sunday or Saturday. It could be any day. I really believe that because Sabbath was made for us, so that we are blessed. Not we were made for the Sabbath. That's what the Bible says. So. That's one thing that's another thing that I've learned, but we need to set the guidelines and we need to be really, I'm going to say legalistic. We have to be legalistic about some things and making the calendar and planning and doing things, putting them in the right order. We really have to do that because if we don't, other people will come and they're going to make priorities for us. And then you live someone else's life. Now, just close with the example of crashing your own plane. Now, if you were for any reason to go out of this room right now and you were going to get on a plane somewhere, okay, and if you were going to fly, whatever, on a vacation, and you're on the way to a vacation, your plane goes down, if that was something to happen, God forbid, and that plane goes down, but you survive, you survived the plane crash. What would your story be? I'm pretty sure you'd be getting all the nice clothes like I do have, like all the ties. You'll be getting calls, you'll be writing a book, getting calls from David Letterman, going to show, share your story. Well, how did you all overcome this death? And I'm pretty sure, I'm 100% sure that you would start thinking about, well, if I really die today, and that's the question I want to leave you with. If you were really going to die today, what would be the things, what would I regret not being able to do? And for me, when I wrote this down for myself in my personal journal, I wrote down my wife and my kids. Because I really have, when I realized all this stuff, I really haven't had that time that I needed to have. And another question that I had asked myself, okay, so those are the things that really mattered, and I really wish I had more time with my wife and my kids. I really wish. I could have, but I was just... But now the follow-up question to that would have been, are those the things that I'm spending time doing right now? So I'm not telling you to go and survive a plane crash physically, because it probably wouldn't be possible. I mean, percentage of an airplane going down is really low, so there's really no hope there. But I'm asking you this. Mentally, in your head, what I would like you to do is just a practice. I'd like you to crash your own plane in your head. Really simple. You just mentally survive a plane crash and ask yourself a question. If I die today, what would I be spending my time on? Would God even be on a list? Would my wife and husband even be on a list? Would my kids even be on a list? And because we have so much brokenness in the world, I really believe that with my whole heart. If we just put the priorities up, and again, one last time, if we really had things, if this world and Christians, if we all had it figured out like this, there would not be divorces. Children would be, we would have healthy families. And if we fix the family, and that I believe is the ultimate truth, if we fix the family, we will fix the world. If only everyone lived a life like this, we would not have brokenness. But because a lot of people don't prioritize right, and they don't do things that really matter, things end up bad. So I just ask you to stand as I commit this time to God. What can we do? And there was a if you go on Google and type in what's the number one regret that people regret on their deathbed, and there's the thing that I came up with was actually this was it. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not to the life of others that others expected of me. So, again, if the context of the priorities with God and family and all that stuff, what is it really that matters? And then taking our time wisely, looking over it and having a schedule and actually taking our time and investing in those things and fixing those broken things that have been broken and loose. So my prayer for you is that you really, in 2014, this 2014 would be actually a year of great life and success and getting your priorities in order, and then you can, from there on, if you have that in order, everything else will fall into place easy. It's going to be so much more easier if your relationship with God is number one. Everything will just be so much more easier in your marriage and your kids, and if you're not married and have kids, and your ministry and your school and your everything else will just be perfect if you just only... I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. Things will always come, but you will be able to deal with things in life how Christ would have dealt with them. And you will have godliness, and you will know what to do with certain things. You will not be concerned about things. So let us just close our eyes in prayer, and I'm just going to close in prayer. Father God, I really pray and I really believe this message this morning spoke to a lot of people here. and as it spoke to me and woke me up of what I've learned in my own reality of living a life, a Christian life, and living in this world, Father God, I really pray that this message would just become reality to everyone here this morning. That we would learn to put you first. And 2014 would be a year of great double portion of your anointing and all the things in our marriage and in our relationships, Father God, that we would be blessed with this double portion because we have had it figured out from the beginning. We want to figure it out, Father God, and we want to put you first. We want to, Father God, we want to give you the best of our time. And we ask you to give us wisdom to actually do that. You give us understanding, that you give us, you just give us understanding of how to do that and how to deal with people and how to do things in our life. Father God, I pray as we dismiss this morning that you would just be in control and that you would just remind us every single day of how important it is to put you first in our family. In your name I pray, amen. You're dismissed. This coming up Thursday, if you're married and you'd like to put your marriage first, we have a great class, so we'd love to see you there then.